let's see here, how was the party? Was it fun? Yes, wonderful. I think we have, do we have anniversary? So Brenda, how long have your parents been married?
Almost 26, it will be 26.
26 this week, nice. Happy anniversary to Tom and Christie. And, so has Superman changed a lot? I mean, it is a weird thing that happens in boot camp.
Yes, it is.
3 months later, you're like a different human being. I remember coming back from boot camp, going back to my high school, and my first thought was one thought, these are kids. And it was just 3 months ago, I was one of them. I cannot explain that, it's a strange phenomenon. I'm glad you're here this morning, we have some folks back here in the back that I don't know. You want to introduce yourself?
I'm Davey, my wife, Grace, we are first time kids.
Welcome, welcome. So what is your ethnicity?
We live in Ghana.
No, no, where are you from originally?
Originally?
South Korea, Korea.
Hello.
Yeah, now America, Saudi.
We have lots of Americans like you. Welcome, thank you for being here. Glad you're here this morning. Kind of strange on this day, because usually you hope anybody's here on this day. Because time change, everybody, you know, like, I forgot and all of that. So welcome, folks, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
All right, we're going to begin, I have like 100 miles to go today. You have notes, if you don't have notes, you need notes. The downside of the notes is this, not in any world could I ever finish these notes. Not in 5 worlds could I finish these notes. So what I'm going to do is introduce, and then we're going to do something that's going to, the women are going to love and the men are going to hate. You say, how are you going to hate? Guys, I want everybody to look at me. There's not a man in this room that could write the letter that's in your notes. You don't have the literary ability to write the letter. Did everybody hear me? You don't have the literary ability, but I'm not wanting you to read the letter for literature. I want you to read the letter to see how a person wrote a letter to his wife, not sure what was going to happen to him in the year 1861. Is that a fair statement? All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. May this be a profitable morning as we consider the word of God. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. John 14, if you would, please. John 14. John 14, please. If you are used to being in Sunday school and sleeping, you probably should start sleeping quick, because we're going to move. And we're going to ask hard questions. So, John 14, let's just read together. I want you to notice that which is most important for our discussion this morning, which will be that which is least obvious. John 14. Let not, what's the next word?
Your word.
Be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, are places to dwell. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place, what's the next phrase, for
you.
How important is that you?
Very.
Without the word you, you have no Christianity. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye, Old English, you all, plural, may be also. And whither I go, ye, you all, know, and the way you know. All right, we are going to, Lynn, turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, please. 1 Thessalonians 4. What I'm going to try to do this morning, and I'm going to run like a crazy man, is I want to review, and then I want to, how do I say this? And I'm sorry, there's not going to be a lot of time for, you know, drifting and goofing. We're going to Zoom because if we don't catch this, I start to see Christians. I had a conversation with someone from our church yesterday. Called me about a friend who was back in Cameroon, a believer, and now rejects Christianity because Christianity is a white man's religion. Well, we had a nice conversation for an hour. It wasn't yesterday. It might have been Friday. One of the two. I think it was Friday night. Are y'all with me? Part of this is we don't know how to think biblically, and Christians are some of the worst because we think traditionally what we grew up in until all of a sudden we're asked questions about anything that matters. So, 1 Thessalonians 4, we're going to talk about, by the way, the most important word was the word?
You.
Say, why is that you word important? We'll get there. Verse 13, but I would not have to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye, or you all, sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. I think that's far enough. We're going to talk about destiny. All right, let's pray together again. Folks, I am teaching something that is your very existence. And we have in this room, in the last 10 years, there are people that haven't been in church since the day they moved from here. You need to ask yourself a question, why not? Because Christianity was traditional and cultural, and they liked the Filipinos, or they liked my jokes, or whatever, but there was no Christianity within them. Hello? This is not something that's just a little added-on thing to your life that makes you feel good. So, let's pray, and then I'm going to put some things on the board quickly. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. We have been talking about worldviews. So, let's summarize. I think the very first day I said, you live in a world, an existence, where you have to ask questions. By the way, I don't care if you're an educated person, don't do your thing, or an uneducated person. I don't care if you're smart or dumb as a rock. You have exactly the same questions. Now, some of them will bother you more than others. One of them, origins. Where do we come from? That was my question from ninth grade till I was in the United States Navy in 1976. Because I'm a person that likes about the, you know, intellectual questions, drove me crazy. I couldn't figure it out. Well, there's another question. What we'll be talking about this morning. You say, what's destiny? Where are we going? Do you think every person born on earth is going to think about this? Yes, they are. They're going to have different answers, but they have to think about it because you're going to die. Your parents are going to die. People are going to die. Things happen. What happens to you when you die? These, they have different answers. But see, Christianity is a story. It is a meta-narrative. It is not a bunch of random ideas put in your pocket to make you feel good. And by the way, the story I'm telling is not my story. It's the story of the Bible that God put there in the beginning. So you have these questions. Now, we're not going to talk about these today. You're also going to have to talk about this question sooner or later. How do we live? Which, by the way, what Americans, and I mean all of us, haven't figured out. We are now living, in at best in America, in a post-Christian world. I got a question for all of you older people. Do you remember when Bill Clinton and Biden used to lie and say this? I'm personally against abortion. What's the next word? But have you noticed nobody's lying anymore? You know why they're not lying anymore?
They don't need to.
Because the worldview's gone. We don't need to lie anymore. You do realize Biden's a Catholic. But that's my point. he has to personally be against abortion. That was their salvation. I can protest again personally, but not, we don't even lie. You haven't, by the way, have you not noticed this? Barack Obama was against gay marriage until he wasn't. But there is no morality. See, we're not figuring out, this stuff fits together or it all falls apart, and what you are going to see, and sorry, I'm getting older. Not near as old as this guy. But I'm getting older. Do you realize what you're going to face? No, you don't. And I'll tell you why you don't. Not picking on you. You're younger. You ladies, you know why? Nobody knows what's going to happen. Because it's impossible to predict where we're going to find morality from. There's a law. This guy sent it to every person in this church that your governor is trying to pass, where it will be a criminal act if you, as a parent, tell your children, no, you cannot transition when you're 6 years old. Did you? Is that right then? Didn't everybody read that email?
Yes.
Morality. Well, we have other issues. Well, these are huge issues too. Meaning, identity. Then the other two big questions, and by the way, I'm not going to write the worldview. The other two big questions is basically the question of evil. What went wrong? And then how do we fix it? And we can put this in different formats. We're talking about the problem of evil. We're talking about the problem of, we call it in Christianity, sin, but every culture has to deal with evil. I'll be dealing with evil a little bit this morning. And then how do we fix it? Well, in many forms of Buddhism and Hinduism, the whole object is not to fix anything. In some forms, there's many different forms. Actually, there is no problem of evil. That's an illusion. Or you need to go on the wheel and finally send up, and then you just kind of, you don't have that problem anymore. So friends, all of these are the normal questions. A day after talking to this individual, I realized, you know, the African religions with their forms of magic is trying to do the same thing. Which, by the way, is they're trying to deal with all the demon spirits every place. Which is the reason these crazy charismaticism works over there, because there's not much difference. All right. Everybody with me? You understand the questions? You can't get away from the questions. Today, you can't go back to the 1960s. And if you grew up in a church where the pastor was from the 50s and 60s, unless he moves forward, he's still preaching like we're in the 50s and 60s. Telling people how to get saved that don't even know the story. They have no idea there even is a story. All right. We're going to hurry through this introduction. The question of destiny must be asked, and this is Pastor Warren, it has to be asked within a worldview. You can't talk about going to heaven when you don't have a whole system. What does heaven even mean? As we'll look at in a few moments. So you have to ask, and I'm going to compare this to sports because some of us actually understand sports, and then there's sports that I have no idea about. Destiny compared to a game. The first question you have to ask is, what is the game? Ade, do they play, they don't play rugby or, yeah, they do play rugby in Cameroon. Some?
Some.
Soccer is the big thing. Do you understand? I didn't grow up with soccer. I'm the generation before any of that happened. I still don't know the rules. I also don't know why you want to watch 90 minutes of nothing happening. Though I do understand it's phenomenal. You got to have great athletic ability. I got that. I got a question. Bowling. How many of you like to bowl? Let me ask a second question. How many of you bowled on a bowling green?
No. I've been to bowling green.
We're in Scotland. I thought, no joke, I thought bowling on a bowling green was the same thing we did, but it was outside on beautiful green grass. And it is outside on beautiful green grass. First thing I noticed was it looked more like, now I'm going to really help everybody, looked like bocce ball. Looked nothing like anything. I thought bowling. not mean that. I mean, those people that, there's ice and there's people with a brush and... My first question is, who thought this came up?
Canadians.
I think it's Scottish and Canadian. It's probably the same. I say all that. Listen, when you talk about destiny, you have to first of all ask, what in the world is the game? That's the first. We're kind of get there. Let me give this to you quickly. Next, what are the rules? Is that fair? What are the rules of the game? If you don't know the rules of the game, when I was in India, Ezra, it's your fault. No, it's not. I'm in Israel, in India. I'm someplace and they have a giant TV and they're showing cricket. I, for the life of me, don't understand cricket. First of all, you got funny looking bats. Funny look. The guys have all kinds of weird implements. I don't know how the game is played. I don't know the rules, but Indians go crazy. And Ezra, if you're playing Pakistan, you go murder. All right, we better move on. Next, well, obvious questions. How do you or how does one score? Is that a fair statement? Mm-hmm. You say, Pastor, why are you talking about this? Everybody look over here. If you compare destiny to a game, do you understand the first thing is you got to know what game you're playing. Second thing is, what are the rules? And number three, how do you score? Meaning, you say, I want to go to heaven. That's like a game. How do you score? How do you get there? What does that even mean? We're going to find this more and more a problem in our country. Well, it is. It's already there. Next, how do you win? Meaning, is scoring enough? Does that make sense to you? So if you cheat in the game, can you still win? Well, not normally. Normally, you cheat, you lose, correct? Even though you scored the most, you cheated, therefore you lost. Another simple question. Are there losers and winners? Is that a fair question? I want to ask you a question about Christianity, because we have made Christianity so American. And by the way, I told this young lady, so everybody knows, I don't play games with cultures. I said, every culture has its stupid. I talked to her and I said, you know what I want for your children? I want your children to have the very best of Cameroonian culture, leave the stupid there, and the very best of American culture, and leave the stupid there too.
Right.
American culture is not all good. Are there losers and winners? Well, we're moving into a country in a time where we don't want to have losers and winners.
Right. Yeah.
We all just, and you're just have a participation award.
Right. We're all winners.
We all go to heaven. By the way, is this Rod Bell, which was a pastor in Michigan started out left side of evangelicalism, moved farther and farther and farther and farther and farther until even his own church booted him out that he started. One of the largest churches, was the largest church in Michigan. Say, why did it boot him out? He wrote a book called Love Wins, which means everybody goes to heaven. You understand, all of these are, you. So you're talking to a person on the street that's never heard of Christianity, they're still thinking about this. So if there is something after life, you know, we die, what happens? How do you get there? What are the rules? How do you win? How do you lose? Or do we all just have participation award? Is that fair to say? All right, we're going to move. I'm going to give you three options. Though I want to say to you right up front, there is actually a fourth one at a distance. I'll mention it in a moment. Let's just begin. All is nature, and nature is all. That is, what do we call that? That's evolution. That's what... been going on in America for a long time. Evolution, yes, it would be atheism, though Pam, very few people consider themselves atheists. Most of them have pushed are more agnostic, except the extremes, mm-hmm. meaning they say, I just don't know.
I said pantheism.
Oh, I'm sorry, pantheism. No, pantheism's, Pam, you're right, we'll get there. Yeah, you're right, but not in the way people would recognize. All right. All is nature, and nature is all, is basically your evolution. evolution, any kind of people. I saw Richard Dawkins, I think I sent it to Tim. Oh, these guys hate Christianity. They hate anything to do with a God. Wow.
A lot of energy into fighting somebody.
Yes, they spend a lifetime hating. Friends, this is the most important thing you need to understand about true evolution. If you die, which you will, there is no continuing personal existence. So it's this simple. Did you read some verses with me a minute ago? And what does it say in all of those verses? I go to prepare a place. It is very important that you recognize when you talk to people that worldviews matter. And you cannot go to heaven if you're agnostic or an atheist. Not because you wouldn't want to, just because what happens to you?
They don't believe in heaven, they don't believe you.
You just simply disappear. There's no more. There's no more. Let's not play games. Now, that sounds real good when you're 22 years old, you know, doing your thing. But all of a sudden, your parents get older. By the way, Tom and Christy, 21 again? Yesterday was an important time in my life. My mother turned 90. And today, her younger, much younger sister turns 86. Friends, I love my mother. And this isn't wish fulfillment or wishing, hoping that there's something later. In the view of evolution, everything just ends. And the you disappears. It's important to remember that. All right, let's continue, please. What else? So, no continuing personal existence. You just blink out. That's the view of evolution. Next. I know this sounds funny, there's really no winners and losers. And I hate to use that language. You understand no winners and how can there be winners and losers when every single person that's ever been on planet Earth just disappears? They're gone. I say in your notes, there's just nothing. Well, now we have another problem, and we're not going to talk about it much this morning. There's also no justice. Say, why is there no justice? Everybody look at me. Let's see how many of you can quote more or less this verse. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that,
the judgment.
There's no judgment. And part of judgment on any view of Christianity is there's winners and losers, and there will be, it's going to be justice. So can you see this? If you're an evolutionist, you have to get rid of Hitler because Hitler murdered people, but why? There is no ultimate justice. He just blinks out, just like, by the way, everybody else just disappears. There is no justice. And I say in your notes, that's not my heart problem. My heart problem is the next one. It's connected to that. Not only is there no justice, are really injustice. Because there is no real ultimate morality. Hey, look at me. There's no ultimate morality. I try to explain that these things hook together. Justice and injustice. They have to require that there is this. And they also require there has to be some kind of a judgment sometime that makes distinctions. And you say, Pastor, but that scares me. We're all sinful. That's the reason Christ came to die and died in your place, so you don't suffer for your sins.
Amen.
But friend, I don't worry about Stalin. I don't worry about Mao Zedong. I don't worry about the idiot in North Korea. You say, what? Justice is coming. I'm a Christian. I know either in this life and definitely there's a you. Bob Jones Sr. said it. When he was a young man, he said something to this effect. I came to the place where I realized that I have to live someplace. forever. So does everybody else. There will be justice. Now, wait a minute. Pastor Warren is not making things up. This is the story of the Bible.
That's right.
Every place you look, God created things. God's going to have an end time. There's going to be justice. But in evolution, there's no justice. And frankly, there's no injustice. There's nothing. Because there's no morality. Friends, I know that most of the people in this room, no criticism of you, most of you did not grow up on a farm. Now, there's a lot of things good about a farm and not everything, but here's the thing you miss. Nature is not moral. Nature is whoever's the strongest.
Right?
This is the reason we have people, they grow up in big cities, they go out and want a pet, a bison or a bear. They do not realize they will kill you for different reasons. The bear would like a lunch, and the bison, you're irritating them. Debbie McGrail used to sit right here, and Tim. Debbie McGrail's mother's mother, so it was Debbie's grandmother, she never met her, was pregnant with a baby, big baby, out in the, with the cattle, in a, what would you call it, fenced-in area, not fenced-in, with wood. There was a, I don't know if it was a bull or a cow that had horns. Now see, this is the thing. Here, forgive me. Do me a favor. Rub his head, would you? This is what people think you do to animals. That animal, I think it was a bull. This is Debbie McGrail, who used to be a member of our church. Gored Debbie's grandmother and the baby to death. And they did, look at, and they didn't think about how you felt or whether it was right or wrong. If it's just nature, there is no right and wrong. There's only power. Our country, do you not notice that Trump couldn't, forgive me, and neither could Biden, none of them appeal to right and wrong. What we appeal to now is who's got the power. We're reverting back to like animals. Yes. All right. I hope this helps you. You say, that's a terrible story. I still remember a buddy of mine looking at his arm, and this was in junior high school. He was from a different part of the county, and he had three scars up his arm. And I remember asking him, I don't remember his name now. This might have been my sophomore year. We played chess together. I said, what happened to your arm? And he says, I went back an area in a farm where a creek came out of the side of a bluff. I was just playing. I walked up this little area, and at the top of it was a bobcat. Bobcat's not is about two or three times normal size of a cat. They're not the same. They're not dangerous animals. I grew up on farms. I heard them almost every night. I never saw one. They're nocturnal. They're at night. He said, I walked up there just playing. That bobcat saw me. What's a bobcat do? Now let me pray. Is this the right thing to do? It just took a swipe at him because it was afraid of him and took off. That's living in this world. By the way, there is no right and wrong. Part of our problem, and we're not figuring it out yet, we don't know what's right and wrong because we have no God. We have no origins. We don't know where we're going. We don't know about judgment and justice. We're just left to our own devices. It's scary. All right, in your notes, and this is very crude, I'm sorry. Nature simply doesn't care or even have the ability to care. Nature doesn't care or have the ability to care, friend. So if you're waiting around for some magic way of finding morality again, it does not exist. That's where we are today. By the way, if you want to write, this form of destiny is found primarily in the West. West meaning Europe, England, obviously, Scotland, Ireland, America, Canada. Now, it's kind of funny, West, New Zealand, Australia, by the way, was never Christian. Look, America has Christian roots. New Zealand, Australia never had Christian roots. So they're way ahead of us on all of this stuff. So you go there. This is the view. Now, we still try to hold on to little pieces that we like from Christianity. So when somebody dies, it goes, you know, Harry Carey, some of you have no idea who Harry Carey. When he died, you know, he went to be with Jesus, drinking a beer with Jesus, you know. That's trying to hold on to something. But it really is just make-believe. All right. The second view is all, now, Pam, you got ahead of me, but Pam got it right. The second view is the opposite view, which is all is God and God is all. And these are kind of in opposition. It makes no difference which side. All is nature. That's one view. And the other view is all is God. And I just made a mistake. Because, see, in our world, because even if you're not a Christian, you still grew up around Christianity. When you say God, you think of a person. And as I have been reading for the last couple months, vast majority of Hinduisms, Buddhisms do not believe that God is personal. Can I say this? When you think of God, if you think of a you, they will even tell you, you missed the whole point. There is no you. Which the goal for you is, the joke, I'm being using puns. The goal for you is for there not to be a you. That's their view of destiny. Now, there's various kinds. I am not an expert on any of these. Yes, I have read about four books recently. They drive me crazy. Because you're like, how many Hinduisms are there? Seems to be as many as there are people. The basic concepts are these. Within Hinduism, Buddhism, Jainism, and a bunch of Taoism, there is no continuing, let me see how I say that, forgive me, give me one second. There is no continuing real personal existence. There is no continuing real personal existence. I'm dating myself, forgive me, have no way of not. So, I'm looking around. Mike, you will remember this. These folks might remember this. My wife might remember this. Jim and Fawn might remember it. John Lennon got assassinated. 1980, 81. His son said something that I still remember. People where I was working said, what? When he died, they said of John Lennon, I think his son Julian, but I could be wrong on who, said he's now part of God. Now, by the way, you do realize John Lennon was playing with all Eastern religions, and the goal of life is for the you. You know who you is? To disappear. And his own son thing, he's now part of God. But see, he's not part. See, here's our problem. You think God is personal. No, it's everything. Yeah, it's pantheism or panentheism. It's very confusing. That's, by the way, do you all remember that? I remember hearing it and going like, because I was young. I didn't know there were people that thought you disappeared and went to be, but here's the thing. He became, according to this view, part of God, meaning really it, not a person. Not even something you can describe. In most of these views, you cannot even describe what God is. All right, let's continue. So there's no continuing real personal existence. Actually, in this worldview, personal existence was all just an illusion, at least in many of the different concepts. Even the concept of personal existence in some Buddhisms and Hinduisms is an illusion. Or, at best, a condition to be escaped. You want to escape this condition. And this goes even back to the ancient Greeks, when they said the body is the prison house of the soul. We want to escape all of this. Obviously, in one sense, there can be no ultimate winners and losers. How could there be? Because you disappear, how can there ultimately be a winner and a loser? Actually, the whole goal is for you to disappear. So how can there be anything that's permanent? Next, there can maybe be losers, maybe losers for a cycle. Because many of these do not have a worldview, by the way, that's like this. They have a worldview that's like this. Mm-hmm. And you get on the wheel or the cycle, and the object is to eventually cycle out. You know, and maybe that's up, but you cycle out and then you disappear and you become part of God. So you might lose for several cycles. Hinduism, I believe, has a lot of this rooted in it, which means this: if you're in the wrong caste, it's because you were bad in a previous lifetime. And when you're cycling around, you've cycled down to farther down. And the goal is to be a good Hindu so you can cycle up and then eventually disappear. So you might lose for a cycle or two or three or a thousand, but you're not going to be ultimately a winner or a loser. Next, I just got to say it in this way. This is beyond justice. Beyond justice. And then I say, well, actually, there is no justice. I mean, there can't be real justice. All right. We're going to do, we now have 10 minutes. Whoa. Backside of your notes, please. Is everybody ready for Pastor Warren? Another problem. Pam got ahead of herself. She stated an untruth that's true. When you actually understand this, that all is nature, by the way, and you're going to hear things like Mother, and all is God, but that God is not personal, you do realize, look, it's not this, it's this. These two worldviews start sounding the same because they're very similar. So I would actually tell you there's probably one basic worldview, pantheism. God, but not a personal God, is everything. And this is the reason evolutionists divinize nature. They worship nature. And they're so worried about climate change and all of it. Now, by the way, we're not going to talk about that. Now, we have about 10 minutes. This is the best letter you'll ever read. Ladies, have your hankies out. This is the text of Sullivan Ballou's last letter. I'm going to read you something not in your notes, please. Sullivan Ballou was a 32-year-old attorney from Providence, Rhode Island. Abraham Lincoln called for volunteers in the summer of 1861 because of Fort Sumter. Sullivan Ballou, everybody, was the Speaker of the House in Rhode Island. So this is not some backwoods Billy Bob. This was a sharp guy. He was elected, remember in those days, Jim, they just elected you officer. He was elected officer and became a major, and he was leading his troops from Providence into the first battle of Bull Run, or if you're a Confederate, Manassas Junction. Indications in your notes are very strong that we shall move in a few days, perhaps tomorrow, lest I should not be able to write you again. I feel impelled to write a few lines that may fall under your eye when I shall be no more. Our movement may be one of a few days' duration and full of pleasure, and it may be one of severe conflict and death to me. What's that say? Read it. You have to understand, there is no you, there is no you God. You cannot say that. But he believed in, by the way, he's quoting Jesus, of course. I want to say this to all of you history buffs that have any inkling of history. I first heard this letter in the documentary on PBS on the Civil War. I am sorry, I actually have historical sensibilities. Then I looked at the real letter and compared it to what they read in the documentary. And they left out Christianity. Deliberately, line by line, they lied. You're reading the original letter. He says, if it is necessary that I should fall on the battlefield for my country, I am ready. I have no misgivings about or lack of confidence in the cause in which I am engaged, and my courage does not halt or falter. I know how strongly American civilization now leans upon the triumphs of government, and how a great debt we owe to those who went before us through the blood of the and suffering of the revolution. And I am willing, perfectly willing, to lay down all of my joys in this life to help maintain this government and to pay that debt. We have two guys running for president. Neither one of them could say that. Neither one. But my dear wife, when I know that with my own joys I lay down nearly all of yours and replace them in this life with care and sorrows, when after having eaten for long years the bitter fruit of an orphanage myself, I must offer it as their only sustenance to my dear little children. Is it weak or dishonorable why the banner of my purpose floats calmly and proudly in the breeze? That my unbounded love for you, my darling wife and children, should struggle in fierce, though useless contest with my love of my country. I cannot describe to you my feelings on this calm summer night when 2,000 men are sleeping around me, many of them enjoying the last, perhaps before that of death. And I, suspicious that death is creeping behind me with his fatal dart, and communing with God, my country, and thee. Of course, that was eliminated from television. I have sought most closely, and by the way, all the highlighted parts was eliminated. I have sought most closely and diligently and often in my breast for a wrong motive in this hazarding the happiness of those I loved and could not find one, a pure love of country and of the principles I have often advocated before the people, and the name of honor that I love more than I fear death have called upon me, and I have obeyed. Sarah, this was in the documentary. My love for you is deathless. It seems to bind me with mighty cables that nothing but omnipotence can break. And yet my love of my country comes over me like a strong wind and bears me irresistibly on with all those chains to the battlefields. The memories of all the blissful moments I have spent with you come crowding over me, and I feel most deeply grateful to God and you that I have enjoyed them so long. And how hard it is for me to give them up and burn to ashes the hopes of future years when, God willing, we might still have lived and loved together and seen our boys grow up to honorable manhood around us. I know I have but few claims upon divine providence. In that generation, that was when they did not want to refer to God too personally. They always said divine providence. Look him in the eyes. George Washington almost never said the word God. They would always say providence. That was a roundabout way, circumlocution. Got it? He goes on to say, but something whispers to me, perhaps it is wafted, you know, like food, smell of food, prayer of my little Edgar, that I shall return to my loved ones unharmed. If I do not, my dear Sarah, never forget. Never forget how much I love you. When my last breath escapes me on the battlefield, it will whisper your name. Forgive my faults and the main pains that I have caused you. How thoughtless, how foolish I have oftentimes been. How gladly would I wash out my tears, every little spot upon your happiness, and struggle with all the misfortune of this world to shield you and my children from harm. But I cannot. I must watch you from the spirit land and hover near you while you buffet the storms with your precious little freight, and wait with sad patience till we meet to part no more. Can I give you a challenge? I would like at least half of you next week to say, I've taken the challenge. Go to YouTube. You can find this letter read from the documentary. Compare this letter to the documentary. Can you do that?
Yes.
Everything about Christianity is removed. By the way, this letter means nothing if there's... You don't go off to war. Forgive me for being crude. You don't go off to war to fight for slavery that you've never had a slave, nor slaves have ever been there, unless you think there's something right and just. And if I die, there's something after this. But here's our problem. We have none of that. That's the reason we can't get people to join the military. Why would you? Simply to fight for power? We continue. But oh, Sarah, if, and you can, the dead can come back to this earth and flit unseen around those they love. I shall always be near you in the garish day, in the darkest night, amidst your happiest scenes and gloomiest hours. Always, always. And if the soft breeze fans your cheek, it shall be my breath. Or the cool air cools your throbbing temples, it shall be my spirit passing by. Sarah, do not mourn for me, dear. Think I am gone and wait for me, for we shall meet again. As for my little boys, they will grow up as I have done and never know a father's love and care. Little Willie is too young to remember me long, and my blue-eyed Edgar will keep my frolics with him among the dimmest memories of his childhood. Sarah, I have unlimited confidence in your maternal care and your development of their characters. Tell my two mothers, I say, I call God's blessing upon them. Oh, Sarah, I wait for you there. Come to me and lead thither my children. Five days later, he died in the first day of the Battle of Bull Run. And Southern troops mutilated his body and removed bodily parts so he could not be recognized or be a man. Is there something after this? Is there justice? Are there rewards? By the way, this ain't your religion. This is the truth of Christianity, Amen. Of which many people in this country lived for until recently, where now we just have emotions, our silliness. I believe this, friend. We don't have time to go there. There is a you, and that you will live someplace forever. Mm-hmm. You better figure out where you're going to live forever. And then you're going to figure out from that what your morality is and how you live and what, look at me, and what you live for. Because living for yourself is eliminated the moment you realize there are winners and losers. There is judgment. And this living for yourself is what pagans do. Can I have an amen?
That's right.
Now, guys, I'm sorry to embarrass you. Not a male in this room could write a letter anywhere near that. But the Christianity is the part that I love. And love of wife, children, and country all come together. That's my introduction to destiny. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time now. In Jesus' name.